You're listening to the Parent Pod Podcast by Gymboree Play and Music with Adonica Shaw, a weekly conversation about early childhood development topics for parents with children ages 0 to 5. While the content of this show is meant to be informative, it is not meant to replace the guidance of your physician, therapist, or pediatrician.
Hello, and welcome to the Parent Pod Podcast. I'm your host, Adonica Shaw. Today, I am joined by Chastity Holcomb, who is a mother and a licensed professional counselor in Texas. In her online practice, Momfully You, Chastity uses her specialized training in perinatal mental health to help moms in the state of Texas. Her passion sparked with the experience of loved ones, but fully caught fire after her own transition into motherhood. She has a mission to help moms feel seen, heard, and empowered to let go of societal expectations and mom fully and unapologetically as themselves. Chastity, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Oh my goodness. So I am just reading through and I'm going over this in my head a little bit, your powerful bio. I want to give you the floor for a second for you to tell our listeners a little bit about your private practice and a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, so my private practice, just kind of as you were saying, my interest in maternal mental health kind of started when I was seeing my friends kind of go through motherhood and that transition. And then when I became a mom, it was like, whoa, you know, this kind of realization that it can be a really difficult time of transition. And so I was like, I have to do something about this. I just can't, you know, have this awareness of how difficult it is without doing anything about it. So I did some specialized training in perinatal mental health and started up my online practice that's for moms. And I did it online because mom life is busy. Right. And so scheduling to leave the house and get a sitter or, you know, all these kinds of things can be barriers when it comes to reaching out for help. And so I kind of wanted to knock that barrier down, and online seemed like the best way to do that. And so it is always an honor to sit across from a mom who might be going through anxiety or depression or identity struggles as it relates to becoming a mom, and just kind of walk them through their journey and their process. It's just, I love it so much.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned a little earlier was that you said that, you know, it was quite the transition when you became a parent yourself. You, like many of our listeners, I'm sure, are probably gobsmacked when they're going through some of those early morning feeding times, the changes that happen to your body, the changes to your earlier point in terms of your own self-identity. What were some of the things that you personally really had to navigate through? And what are some of the common things that your clients come to you in terms of struggling to understand about themselves once they become mothers for that first time?
Yeah, so I think for me, so my husband and I, we got married, and then a month after we were married, we were pregnant with our first daughter. So that was like a, oh my goodness. I mean, we knew how babies came into the world, but it was still a shocker, right? And so she's here, she's 4 months old, and we find out again that we're pregnant with our second. And so we have these two beautiful daughters that are 13 months apart. And we did not have a lot of time to just be married and identify, you know, our marriage and our values and really plan. We were just kind of, like you said, God struck in or God smacked by this idea of being parents overnight almost. And so going through this kind of grieving process almost of, you know, I had to let go in a sense of this person that was single, you know, and without children. And so I had to let go of all of that at once and form into this wife as I'm also forming into this mother. And it created, as I said, kind of this grieving in me because I was like, man, you mean to tell me that I don't get a chance to just leave when I want to, or I can't just, you know, create a schedule on my own terms? And so that transition was hard for me. And when it comes to new moms or just moms who are in a new phase of motherhood, so say, you know, their kid is older and things have changed, or they're adding another kid to the family, it's the same kind of deal. It's the grieving of expectations, what we thought motherhood would look like or feel like, or how we thought it was going to be this whole glamorous thing, and we had no clue how difficult it would be. And so that transition of, you know, the grieving all the way up to the acceptance, for some moms, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to get there, but for some moms it's especially difficult. And so I just kind of like I said, kind of walking them through that, the grieving portion of that, all the way to the acceptance, and really being comfortable with their newfound identity, right? I am a mom and I am a fill in the blank, and helping them own that and be comfortable and confident in this kind of new role and how that adds to their life.
Well, first and foremost, girl, you are a trooper. Two children, 13 months apart. I don't know how you could have done that. Mine are spaced out a little bit, but I couldn't imagine what it must be like to go through such a tremendous transformation with your own personal identity, but then also that new identity, right, of being pregnant and wanting to enjoy that as much as you possibly can, depending upon how your body reacted to being pregnant. But then from that, having that layer of becoming a wife, and then you're a mom, and then still trying to reconcile your new identity after being single for so long. So I would imagine that that's quite the transformative process that you went through, and very similar to a lot of the women who are listening to this show, the ones that they would go through as well. I will say, when you were going through this process, did you have a support system, or did you have any resources that kind of helped you put things into place? I think one thing that I kind of smiled to myself, because there's always like this really glamorous idea of what a lot of women believe that motherhood might look like. And it's so idealized in many ways. And nobody really tells you, because if they told you what was going to happen, you'd be not necessarily as eager to see all of the changes happening to your body and to your identity and trying to figure out where that fits. But did you have a support system? Did you have other women that you might have been pregnant with at the same time, where you guys were learning about your bodies and learning how to navigate motherhood and identity that first time around?
Yeah, so I would definitely say that my husband was a huge support. I don't know that he had that much of a choice, but he definitely stepped up to the plate. As you mentioned, like pregnancy, it was very difficult for me. I had morning sickness, not just in the morning, but all day and most of my pregnancy.
I remember those days.
Oh, yes. And so there were several things, like several household things that I just was not able to do, and then ended up having like pelvic floor pain and just wasn't able to walk some days. And so it was a bit very, I needed a lot of physical help, right? And I think a lot of moms or women in general, like, we're like, I'm independent, I don't need any help. And I had to get used to asking and accepting help. And so my husband was great. He still is very great. And then I have, like I said, I have family members that were already moms or parents that kind of, once I reached a milestone, so like once the baby got here and then the sleepless nights, they're like, yeah, that's normal. I'm like, but where's this talk? Anyways, where's this talk all the way, all that long ago? But so yes, family and then mom friends. So you know, that takes on a whole new dynamic when your friends get pregnant and they start having kids. You're like, yay, we get to struggle together. We get to struggle and live out, right, this wonderful journey together. And so that, and then I think too, my faith was very important in the support and just kind of building endurance and going back to being able to contribute to the world in a way that, you know, not a lot of people, that it's not, it doesn't happen, you know, for everyone. And so I definitely am sensitive to parents who are not able to conceive or who are still on the journey to conceiving. And so I took that and said, you know, even though this is not as I expected, even though this is really hard, I believe that it is an honor for God to choose me to carry and to raise children in this way. And so, yeah, my husband, my family, and mom friends, and my faith were huge support for me.
No, I think that that's just tremendous. I think one of the benefits, and I know right now we're living in the time of quarantine and a global pandemic, but mm-hmm. one of the benefits that Jimbri Plain Music has always offered to parents and to first-time parents in particular is this opportunity to kind of form bonds with other people that are going through that very similar life experience. And so, as you're aware, you know, going through it, changing your identity, barely trying to figure out what your new routine looks like, mm-hmm. barely able some days just to get a little bit of makeup on your face, even if you go that far, pack a bag, get out of the house, even if it's just for 45 minutes to an hour to see other women that are going through the same thing and making sense of it all as well. Now, in terms of your practice, tell me a little bit about some of the things that I would say maybe women have been coming to you with in these last several months that we've been going through the pandemic that perhaps weren't as big of issues as they might have been previously.
Yeah, so we're definitely seeing an influx in anxiety. And anxiety in and of itself is a natural emotion, but it is a survival emotion that's based out of safety and security, right? And so this pandemic is like, there is no safety, there is no security. And so what's happening is moms who already kind of had, you know, struggles with anxiety not related to a pandemic, we're seeing an increase in that because it's almost like a validation that they should be afraid that something terrible or harmful will happen physically to them or their children. It's like, see, I knew it, right? Like this whole time it's been in my mind. I've been, you know, having these thoughts day in and day out that something bad is going to happen. And this is the bad thing that's going to happen. And so it's a lot of encouraging to take note and take inventory of unhelpful thoughts and being able to speak truth to those thoughts and being able to assign practical strategies, coping skills that can help, you know, reduce the effect of thoughts, because what we think leads to the emotions that we feel, which can ultimately lead to the things that we do. And so if we can kind of interject and reroute our thoughts and our thinking about things, it can help. Lots of moms are very anxious about childcare and school as we get ready to make those very difficult decisions when it comes to should we enroll, should we keep them home, you know, do I have the capacity to homeschool? I mean, oh, just so much. The lack of support, you know, from family or friends, if they're not able to come and provide some type of temporary or even permanent relief. You know, being afraid or feeling guilty if they did, you know, come in contact with the virus. And so just kind of lots of things, but they're really based out of, you know, feeling this kind of unpredictability about what's ahead. And so huge influx in anxiety right now. Mm-hmm.
What would be three tips that you would give to first-time moms? I don't want to say that it's the same every single time you have a child, because I recognize that you can have a second child and be a dramatically different experience. However, you've at least proven that you've been able to take care of a child and keep it alive and make sure that you're responsive with their care. You know that you have the experience and the track record of having done it at least once before. And for parents and moms who are going through it that first time, who, to your point, may not have that sense of stability right now, what are three tips that you can give them to either create that stability in their life or identify it in the things that are already in their day-to-day life that perhaps they don't see as stability?
Yeah. I think, for sure, it starts with monitoring what we're allowing our minds access to. And so that could be the news, that could be social media, that could be even friends and family that don't agree with the boundaries that we want to put in place. And, you know, it could be related to COVID or not, right? And so being very cautious of what we're allowing to enter into our mental space. And putting in place some boundaries that protect, you know, ourselves from any of the harmful thoughts or harmful news or harmful, you know, accounts that make us feel more anxious or more worried or overwhelmed once that whatever it is enters into our mind. When you take inventory of that, it's like, oh, I noticed that when I watch the news, I feel way more anxious than when I don't. So I'm going to just not watch the news today, or, you know, I'm going to maybe watch it on Monday and then check back in on Thursday, whatever that plan is. I think also, it could be communicating to your spouse and having a plan with your spouse about how you are going to, maintain your, basically your sanity, but maintain your mental stability during this time. What are some things that you guys can do together to protect the boundaries that you've put in place? What is it something that your partner can do to help lighten the load during this time? Because I think a lot of times new moms think that they have to do everything, or because they know how, or they want to do things a certain way, then they should be the only one to do it. Right? So instead of assuming that you have to do all things or that your way is the perfect way of doing those things, maybe inviting your spouse in to say, you know, this is one thing that I need help with. Could you do this? Or, you know, I coming to the terms with, I understand that we'll do things differently, even though it is not easy for me to say that. You know, I can allow you to do it your way. I think we'll be okay, right? Relieving yourself of this pressure to do all things for all people at all times. And then I think maybe the third thing to do is to know when to reach out for support. So that is, you know, talking to other mom friends, talking to family, and even reaching out to your provider, whether that be your medical provider if you're having any physical concerns, or reaching out for a therapist to help with any mental concerns. I think a lot of times we'll let time pass because we're like, oh, this is just the baby blues. You know, it'll go away by, you know, month four, or, you know, whenever the baby does this, then I should be fine. But being able to say, you know what, it's okay for me to reach out for help. It's okay for me to reach outside of myself and get what I need. It's not anything to be ashamed or embarrassed about. You know, it makes me stronger, in fact, to reach out for help. So those things, you know, coming up with those boundaries, what you're allowing to into your mind and into your space, communicating with your partner about what they can do, what kind of systems you guys put in place to make this a cohesive and a balanced environment, and then reaching out for help, for support.
No, those are fantastic tips. As I'm thinking through this, and I'm thinking a little bit about your bio and some of the things that you really help women do, one of the things I believe it mentions is that you really help them to feel empowered. And I know right now many people, because I know that this episode is going to be available across the the world, you know, just depending upon how they access the podcast. Mm-hmm. But in terms of empowerment, particularly because there are still so many of us that are stuck in the house, I could see self-care being as, mm-hmm. as a form of empowerment right now, excuse me. What tips did you have or would you be able to offer women around finding empowerment at home or even coming up with some level of a self-care routine to make sure that they can sustain balance in their daily life?
Yeah, I think it's so important that we are realistic about how we take care of ourselves because, like you said, we hear it everywhere, right? Self-care, self-care. And sometimes that, in ways, that has become very cliche and kind of, you know, one-sided, where we have this idea that self-care means going out of your house, spending money and large amounts of time to do something that makes you feel good on the outside, right? I'm getting my nails done, I'm going to the spa, I'm getting my hair done, I'm shopping, when moms, especially new moms, don't have that time, and we're in a pandemic, and so we don't have even that opportunity to, right? A lot of the places that we're used to going for that quote-unquote self-care, they are not open. So we need practical things that we can integrate in our day that is helpful. And so calming strategies, things like deep breathing, recognizing tension in our body and using mindfulness to help us calm down. So being able to identify things that I see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. And those coping and calming strategies can be done anywhere at any time. So say, you know, you shower in the morning before the kids get up. So while you're in the shower, you can do 3 minutes of deep breathing. Or it doesn't even have to be 3 minutes. It could be 1 minute of deep breathing, whatever you can, you know, take that time out to do. While your kids are maybe watching a show or you're doing an activity, you can practice the mindfulness activity with them. Okay, guys, let's kind of, you know, it's getting a little crazy in here. Let's kind of center ourselves. Tell me one thing you see, right? And when you're naming those things out, it's also teaching them to remain in the present moment. Another thing we can do is, again, always be mindful of the thoughts we're doing, I mean, that are coming to us. While we can't always stop them from coming to us, we can reroute them. And so you can do this. Nobody can tell that you're rerouting your thoughts. It doesn't require leaving your home or spending money. But when you have a thought that is negative, right? I'm always going to be in this house where I'm going to be stuck here, and I'm always going to be overwhelmed with taking care of the kids, doing schoolwork, all these kind of things, right? These ruminating thoughts. Stopping yourself right in that moment, saying, you know what? No, this is longer than expected, but it is temporary. What can I do right now that makes me feel a little less overwhelmed by this? I can take a break. Okay, let me take a break. And whether your calming strategy is exercising, maybe, you know, when the kids go down or during their nap, you pop on YouTube. That's my go-to. I go to YouTube and I type in Pilates, and they have all kinds of videos for me. And so, you know, finding those small little pockets of opportunity to integrate those in your day makes a world of a difference. And it takes the kind of pressure off to do something elaborate. Self-care is not elaborate. It's just nurturing yourself through whatever avenue, calming, regulating your emotions and your body, or kind of physical movement. So I think that those could be helpful.
Mm-hmm. No, those are all tremendous tips. I think what's been really interesting in these last few months is that I've seen so much more content, particularly on Instagram, I'd say, that mm-hmm. has to do with self-care. Yeah. And you would think that we would have more of these conversations and that this is something that all women have been raised to know about and to believe. But I would kind of argue that the concept of self-care, particularly for moms and young moms, is a newer conversation, particularly mm-hmm. one that's picked up really in the last 3 to 5 years. So thank you so much for those tips. I think helping other women to understand ways in which they can self-care and exchanging those ideas with one another and reminding each other how important it is incredibly beneficial, particularly yes. if they can't get out to a class or meet with their other mom friends right now. They have to kind of find a way to establish and maintain that balance. Mm-hmm. with their day-to-day actions, or like you said, with their mindset and the thoughts that they're thinking on their own right now. I have just a few more questions for you. If you've listened to our other episodes, then you know that we're big on books around here. So I'd like to know if you have a book recommendation for parents that you feel that would be interesting for them to read. And honestly, like I'll let you decide which you think is best. It doesn't have to be any particular genre or topic.
Yeah, so I love the book Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud. He has a beautiful way of explaining why boundaries are important. And I think the topic of boundaries is so relevant to parents and new moms as we make this adjustment, because there are all these external pressures to conform to someone else's way or someone else's expectation of you. And so having boundaries can really help you feel confident in the way that you articulate yourself. And it really just makes this kind of beautiful seal around you and what you desire, your values, your priorities for what you want for your family. And like I said, this book, Boundaries, can be used in multiple different ways. So not just parenthood, but just in your marriage or your friendships. And so I think it's multiple, you know, folds of how we can apply boundaries. But I think that that is a great book. And I recommend that often to my clients when they're determining, you know, how do I talk to my family about this? Or how do I, you know, tell my friends that I'm not into that anymore? Creating these boundaries are essential to creating a life that you enjoy, to make sure that you're not living someone else's identity and someone else's life that they expect of you. So Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud is an awesome, awesome book to dive more into how to do that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that recommendation. And then lastly, how can we find you if we want to find you online? Are you on Instagram? Are you on Facebook, LinkedIn? What's the best way for our listeners to connect with you?
Yes. So my website is www.momfullyyou.com. And then I am on Instagram. That is the only social media platform that I own, that I'm on. And that is momfully.you. And on that platform, I share a lot of content around, you know, identity and self-care and transitions to motherhood and even, you know, those postpartum moments and anxiety and depression. Just kind of a lot of things related to motherhood. So yeah, I'd be happy to have you join me. It's a wonderful community of moms who are just learning to be the best self that they can.
Oh, that is such a tremendous message. I thank you so much for being here with us today. I will speak on behalf of our listeners who aren't here with us recording, and that this is such needed, a much needed conversation, particularly when it comes to understanding identity and being able to transform that in a way that we're comfortable with. I think certainly boundaries is a huge part of that. And it's wonderful that both your clients and now our audience is aware of this book that they can go ahead and purchase that might help them to establish those boundaries as they are navigating motherhood and their new identity for themselves. I think that's just tremendous. So thank you for that. For all of you that are at home listening to this episode, we're so excited that you are with us today. If you have any thoughts about this particular episode, please feel free to use the Parent Pod Podcast hashtag, and we will respond to any questions. You can also mention or at either one of us, particularly on Instagram, and that would be the Jimbri Playin' Music account, or Ms. Holcomb's account as well. And we will do our best to engage with you and to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you so much for listening.
To learn more about this week's episode or the content discussed in the episode, be sure to follow Jimbri Playin' Music on Facebook.